Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
Well, another fantastic week on Wall Street. Not. We had the Fitch downgrade the U.S. government, and the market didn't like it very much. The Dow Jones was down 1.1% on the week. S&P off 2.3. NASDAQ almost off 3, finishing down 2.8. The international index, what the heck happened there? Down 3.3%. The 10-year treasury, slightly up. Oil had a nice little rally this week. Continues to show the price of oil and fuel and inflation up 2.5%, closing at $82.62 a barrel. We are positive on the year now, almost 3%. And bonds year-to-date up 0.7, so not much going on there. And I got a question this week, and it really kind of tied it all together. And this came from Joanne in Mill Valley. She asked me, hey, why did stocks drop Wednesday? Now, think back to Wednesday. Stocks suffered their worst drop in months. And the reason that was cited in the press was the downgrade of the U.S. government, their debt specifically, by Fitch. Fitch, as you know, is a ratings organization. But I don't think that's why that happened. And I've been saying this now for weeks. The reason is valuation. As we have said, above 4,500 on the S&P 500, the S&P 500 is pricing in nothing bad happening. It's the opposite of the start of this year. Remember, we were talking about the Fed continuing to raise rates and some bad things happening, like a recession. And you may remember when that press was out there, when the S&P 500 was pricing in nothing good happening, it wasn't at these levels. So the high valuation leaves this market right now vulnerable to surprises like these errant type headlines that happen. And like we saw last Friday, we talked about this last weekend. Remember the Bank of Japan's surprise and minuscule increase in their 10-year JGBs? And just like we saw with Fitch this Wednesday, it was relatively unimpactful, but the market reacted. And again, it's because of this unfortunate news that comes out. What does it mean? Now, Jamie Dimon, who runs Chase, he called it ridiculous, quote. And he says, quote, it doesn't really matter. And the problems that the Fitch analysts cited about the dysfunction in the U.S. government, well, that's not untrue, is it? I mean, we all know that. But it's not all that different from the past, and it's not a reason to downgrade the U.S. government debt, especially in light of the U.S. economy and how strong it's been. And I thought this morning what I would do is compare that situation that we're seeing now and living through to 2011. Because you may remember when the U.S., again, the U.S. government, lost its AAA rating from Standard & Poor's. This was over 10 years ago. It doesn't seem like it, but it was. And that decision has not changed. And when it happened, you may remember, the S&P 500 went down 4.8% in a day on August 4th. And then another 6.5%. On August 8th, stocks were volatile over the following 2 months from that decision. And counterintuitively, investors moved more bonds and more into bonds and the U.S. dollar as a safe haven against more uncertainty. So last week, when we saw the market reaction to the Fitch downgrade, wasn't as bad, if you think about it in terms of the previous time it happened. So again, Joanne asked me why. Good question. Well, I'm going to say that because investors had gone through this sort of an event back in 2011, it wasn't the first time that it ever happened, so that helped. But I'm also going to say that there's some big differences in the economic landscape that we're in right now compared to back then as well. You may remember that there was a standoff in Congress at that time as far as the debt limit. So that was going on at that time. We're not having that same situation right now. It's been at least kicked down the road a little bit longer, of course, because we've got a big election coming up. You've got investor sentiment right now, fairly strong. You may remember back then, it was pretty fragile. And that was because we still had pretty strong memories of that global financial crisis from 2008. We had economic growth at that time that was frankly anemic, whereas right now it's not. We had unemployment back then at 9%. And right now, as you know, it's about 3.5%, historic lows. So it's a different environment. And because of that, I don't think, Joanne, that you have much to worry about at this moment, but it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be concerned overall about more volatility. Because the rally that we've had so far this year has stretched where we are. So what does that mean? Well, Treasury yields right now, this is interesting. You look at the 2-year and you look at the 10-year. And I'm going to say that from now through early 2024, I think the Treasury yields are going to stay right about where they are now. They may move a little bit, but not much. And here's why I say that. If you look back over the last 40 years, okay, Treasury yields have always declined 6 months after the last Fed rate hike. So going back to 1984, the 2-year changed 2.2%, and the 10-year changed 1% when you look at that same sort of situation where the Fed stopped raising rates. You look at 1987, 89, 95, 2000, 2006, 2018. That's what we looked at. Again, this was a source fact set. The average change in the 2-year yield was down 1.2%, and the return on long duration bonds, get this, was up 12.2%. So why am I saying all this morning? Here's why. Here's what I want you to pay attention to. In my view, I think between now and the end of the year, because that's what a lot of people are asking me, where's the market going to finish the end of this year? What should I be doing right now? Not last week, I went into this. So if you missed this market segment last week, go back, listen to the podcast. Listen to what I told you to do at that point, what was happening. Because again, I'm going to repeat myself. We had a very good conversation this week with a client about what I'm about to tell you. I see more volatility coming. And I think now, just like I said last week, is the time to diversify into the lagging sectors in the stock market. These have lower valuations right now, lower, less to lose when things don't go right. I think you should dollar cost average into this market right now. Again, into the sectors I'm talking about. And I also think on the fixed income side of your portfolio, you need to barbell your approach. And the reason I'm saying that is because of the data I just gave you on the short end and the long end. So on the short end, you want to buy, say, you know, 1 to 2 year. And then if you view a barbell, like when you lift a weight, you put your hand on the bar, right? And on each side of the bar, there's a weight, right? It's a barbell. So imagine that. So on the left side, you've got your 2-year, 1 to 2 year. And on the right side, you've got your 10 to 15 to 20 year, depending on what you can tolerate there. Okay. And at the moment, that is the approach I think you should be using when it comes to your fixed income because of the statistic that we just talked about, which looks fairly interesting.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.